Hockey Talk with Boomer. Only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
Game Day Edition. Boomer and Warner in the morning. Pinderlong as well. We are live in Palm Springs, La Quinta, as we get ready for the Hawks and Flames tonight. 7 o'clock start over at the Dome. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to chat with Eric DeHatchik, our NHL insider. Crazy story that's... It's not a new one. It's obviously been developing for a while, but Aaron Portsline of the Columbus Dispatch, putting it out overnight and this morning, involving Jack Johnson. I don't know what you how you feel about Jack Johnson or where you're at with him, but you probably feel a little bit sorry for him based on some news that's come out. We'll get into it with Eric in the next segment. But right now, time to chat the Flames and Hawks with Derek Wills.
Wills in the Morning is brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. The all-out clear-out event continues with the 2014 Ram 1500 starting at $19,997. Go to varsitychrysler.com and shop where Geo shops.
Well, Derek, you were in Chicago for the last time when these two teams went at each other. One of the more incredible games that you could... You could imagine. Do you expect anything different tonight, or still a dominant? I don't know. We can expect 90 shots towards the net, and the Flames come away with a win. I think if they do that again, it's not going to end well for them. What do you expect tonight? How much of what we saw back in October can you expect to be replicated here tonight?
I don't think we're going to see a game that's even close to that, at least as far as the shots on goal and the scoring chances go. I think the Flames have come a long way since that 2-1 win over the Blackhawks at United Center, where they got outshot 50-18. The team has not given up nearly as many shots or scoring opportunities in any game since then, and they're playing a lot more sound defensively right now. So I don't think Jonas Hiller is going to have to do cartwheels in his crease to keep the game close this time. I think he'll simply have to have a good game, maybe a very good game, against a terrific Blackhawks team. And with the way the Flames are rolling right now, it wouldn't shock me if they found a way to win this one again.
We were talking about this earlier. You look at the two rosters for the Flames, the one that will be on the ice tonight and the one that was on the ice in October, very different. Michael Backlund, as we know, got the overtime winner in that October game. He's not playing. No Matt Stajan. You've now got Marcus Granlund. You've now got Josh Juris, who have become big parts of the offense. Paul Byron is a bigger part. It's weird. It's not been that long, but the team is very much different. Are they better today than they were then, just based on what we see on paper and on the bench?
On paper, I'm not sure. It's a really good question. Obviously, you'd love to have Michael Backlund and Joe Colburn and Mason Raymond back in your lineup. But the young guys have done such a terrific job. I mean, Marcus Granlund has filled the hole left by Michael Granlund or Michael Backlund, and he's done a terrific job. And I'm not even sure there's been a drop-off there, and that's not a knock on Backlund. That's just, you know, giving Granlund credit where credit is due. He's been really good, and really every aspect of the game, he's been good offensively and good defensively. And Josh Juris, I guess you could say, has at times filled the hole left by Matt Stajan. He's played on the fourth line quite a bit, played down the middle quite a bit. And, you know, he's a different type of player. You know, Stajan is very smart. He's a wily old veteran and very rarely gets caught out of position. But Juris is very fast and tenacious and loves to go in there on the forecheck. And he's been really good as well. So on paper, I don't know. It's tough to say, and I don't want to knock the veterans. And I think that it's tough to replace that experience. And long-term, they're going to miss these guys. But short-term, the Flames have found a way to perform without a number of the most important players in their lineup. Backlund, Colburn, and Raymond are at the top of that list. And Stajan was playing really well before he got hurt as well. So I don't know if they're better necessarily. They're different. And with the way they play, I think it's worked well for them because they brought a lot of speed into their lineup. Josh Juris certainly brings that, and Paul Byron's got maybe the best wheels on the team. So they're a different team. I'm not sure they're a better team, but a different team. And as a group, they're certainly playing better right now than they were back then.
You'll go ahead. You're ready. Now I got to turn you on. There you go.
Yeah. I was going to talk about Marty Jelena, and I know that Bob Hartley's obviously done a great job of coaching, but I played with Marty, and I can't help but wonder how much influence he has on that team and how much respect that those players give him, because when I played him with him, he was one of the most beloved guys in the dressing room, and I got to think that the guys playing for him feel the same way.
Oh, absolutely, and you know, I'm not inside that Flames dressing room, obviously, but I think you got a pretty good sense of how well-respected Marty is, and you know, I think they respect him as a coach now because he accomplished an awful lot as a player, and a lot of what he accomplished was right here in the province of Alberta. So, you know, Jelena is a guy who I think the players can relate to. They look up to him, and they respect him, and he knows the game inside out, and he brings a lot to this team. And you know, when they called the timeout late in the game, he was the guy with the dry erase board out to try to draw up a play. So I like the way Bob Hartley leans on his assistant coaches. Obviously, he's been with Jacques Cloutier forever. You know, Martin Jelena has been a great addition to the staff. And these three guys, they all have their strengths. And this isn't a knock, but you know, everybody has weaknesses. They all have their weaknesses. But Bob Hartley realizes where his strengths and his weaknesses are, and he leans on the people around him. And to me, that's the sign of a great coach.
The Hawks are a little bit of a different club from when they last played, too. I know Trevor Van Riemsdyk, a guy that came in and took over the spot that was kind of left by Nick Leddy when he was dealt to the Islanders. He had been playing well. He's now out long-term. I know they're without Patrick Sharp. What is your, because I know you'll be doing the homework, what are you learning about the Hawks as they get ready for this one?
Well, they're a team that has scored enough goals to get by this season, but their offense certainly hasn't produced like you'd expect it to. They don't have a point-a-game player, which with guys like Taves and Kane and Hossa is really surprising. But a team that continues to play well on all 200 feet of the ice. They're very well-rounded. They have good goaltending, obviously excellent defensemen, and they've got dynamic forwards. So they're a team that can play any way you want them to play. And they're very versatile. They've got a ton of experience. And you know what? The Blackhawks aren't going to sweat themselves trying to win the President's Trophy. They're a team that simply needs to get to the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's where they're going to do their damage. That's where they measure themselves. They don't measure themselves based on their regular season performance. So, you know, they're a very good hockey team. They were my preseason pick to win the Stanley Cup this year, and they're a team that needs to get healthy, but I think this group will get better as the season goes on. And I don't know what you guys think, but they are as good as anybody in the National Hockey League, if you ask me. Maybe not right now, but they will be when it matters most, and that's in the playoffs.
Well, and that's what I think I'm struggling with is you look at the Flames and how well they've played. They beat Anaheim the other night. Do I expect them to beat the Hawks? Because, I mean, the Hawks are one of those teams that no matter what, they come to town, you still could consider them the best in the league. Well, is that a win for the Flames, or is that a, like Boomer said earlier, a bucket of water being splashed in your face and going, ah, there's that elite team?
Well, the Flames will probably have to be lightning in a bucket tonight, Rhett, to beat the Blackhawks. I mean, this is a team that they should compete with. That's what I want to see from the Flames tonight. If they beat the Blackhawks, that's a bonus. But I want to see them compete with the Blackhawks because this is another one of those measuring stick games. And I know it's early in the season. This is their 21st game. But you have to measure yourself throughout the season. And I think the first two periods against the Ducks the other night were a good measuring stick because I think the Ducks played as well in the first 40 minutes two nights ago as I've seen any team play this season, especially on the road. I thought they played pretty much a perfect road game, but they couldn't build a big enough lead, as it turned out. The Flames stayed close enough going into the third period to be able to force the game to overtime and eventually a shootout and win it. But, you know, they will have to play, at least in my opinion, a full 60 minutes tonight. They're not going to get away with playing 25 again like they did the other night. And that's not taking anything away from their exciting comeback. But, you know, the players and the coaches know that they're going to have to do more in the first 40 minutes tonight, and I believe they will.
Chatting with Derek Wills on the Lube City Mobile One Sportsnet hotline. Lube City Express oil change featuring Mobile One, warranty approved, a change for the better. We talked a little bit about, obviously, no Patrick Sharp or Trevor Van Riemsdyk, but looks like maybe some more injuries coming in for the Flames. I know Bob Hartley talked about it yesterday, but maybe one less body on the forward ranks and maybe Chris Russell to miss another one.
Oh, boy. If Chris Russell's out long-term, that is bad, bad news for the Flames. He is, I would say, their third-best defenseman, but one of their most important players because he gives them a terrific second pairing with Dennis Weidman, and he allows Weidman to do some things that Weidman probably can't do without Russell. So Russell's extremely important to this team. And of late, so has David Jones. And when you're playing against bigger teams that can skate, like the Ducks and like the Blackhawks, and the Ducks are a lot bigger and stronger than the Blackhawks, but the Blackhawks have pretty good size as well, and they can certainly skate. You need guys with size who can skate, and David Jones has been doing a great job of that of late. I predict both guys will take the morning skate today, and then they'll go from there, and that's what they did the other day. We expected Russell would play for sure. Now, something happened between the morning skate and the game, and he wasn't able to go, but I don't think it's anything serious because at least he is out there and giving it a good try to go and play in games. As for Jones, he's maybe more of a question mark, but these are two guys who have been really good for the Flames, Russell all season, and Jones really good of late. So it'd be great to get them back. As for the other injured guys, nobody's really close other than Michael Ferland, who is available to play tonight if they need him. Based on what Bob Hartley told us yesterday, I don't think we'll see him yet, but there's a pretty good chance that he'll play sometime soon, maybe when the team hits the road for a three-game trip next week.
Well, thanks, Derek. We look forward to it. Again, these are the ones we circled on the calendar, the Ducks and the Hawks. Already passed one test. We'll see how it goes tonight. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Should be a good game, guys. Thanks.
Wills in the Morning is brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. The all-out clear-out event continues with a 2014 Ram 1500 starting at $19,997. Go to varsitychrysler.com and shop where Geo shops.
Did he take a run at you?
Yeah.
Like, it's good. Put you in your place, mister.
Those are copyrighted comments. You can't just...
Those are what?
Copperhead?
Those are... What?
Those
copyrighted?
Copyrighted.
Oh, I see. See, Pinder, what he's trying to... It's like copyrighted, but he's putting red in there.
Crucifying?
Copyrighted.
I get it.
Yeah.
It's very witty.
It's very clever. Yeah. Crucifying. No, you are a sharp one. You are. We'll come back. We got Eric Tuhatchik.
Oh, he'll probably take a run at me, too.
Well, you said you're going to start putting your backup on Tuhatchik because he took a run at you the other day. On Tuesday, he was surprised that you even said a word.
Unsolicited.
Yeah, he said, did you just sit there like a dope and never take part in the conversation?
Just wowed by his brilliance, I guess.
And it took about 30 hours, and you said, jeez, you know, I think Tuhatchik took a run at me there. So we'll be ready for some fireworks when we come back. Yeah. The Hockey Hall of Famer. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, he's smart, eh?
Morning Hockey Talk with Boomer. Only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Feed him the Frankenstein.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
It is Thursday morning. Boomer and Warner out in Palm Springs.
Oh, it's La Quinta.
In La Quinta. I bet you our next guest has been to Indian Wells.
He's been everywhere.
We'll have to ask.
Around the world.
Our NHL insider, Eric Tuhatchik.
Sportsnet 960 hockey insider, Eric Tuhatchik, is brought to you by Eastside Kia. Winterfest is on now. Save $4,500 on a 2015 Kia Forte LX and receive no-charge winter tires. Visit EastsideKia.ca.
Have you been to Indian Wells, California, Eric Tuhatchik?
Absolutely. I've been there for the tennis tournament each of the last 3 years. And
there
it
you
is
go.
A gorgeous place. This is a bit of a role reversal, isn't it? Isn't it usually me in California and you guys freezing up here? And what's going
on?
Yeah,
I'm sure it's coming.
Yeah, don't worry. It's been fun while it lasts, but
6 months, 4 days. Yeah, there's the difference.
We'll see how it goes.
See, I'm trying to participate in our conversation today, Eric.
Right, and first of all, I never called you a dope. I don't even use that word. So, Boomer, you are using what we call hyperbole in the business.
Well, I apologize.
All I said was, you know, get on the YouTube screen and learn about Cat Stevens. The guy's amazing. And I just figured that by now you'd have the lyrics to Moonshadow memorized. You'd be wearing tie-dye this morning, flashing the peace sign at Boomer. I just figured that, you know, like all of us, you know, this guy's music would eventually infect your brain, but maybe not.
In fairness, Eric, you don't know that that's not happening.
Well, that's true.
Maybe he is in tie-dye and given the peace sign.
I had it on until Alice Cooper came on, and then I had to change.
Okay, yeah, that's, yeah.
All Eric, right. did you get a chance, and I'm kind of put you on the spot here, did you get a chance to read the articles coming out of Columbus from yesterday and today regarding Jack Johnson? What a story involving his parents, and he's filed for bankruptcy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know where to begin on this story. I would suggest that anybody that has 15 spare minutes today to pop on Twitter, call up Aaron Portsline's account, read the link, and he does, this is old school journalism, about 3,000 words documenting the entire case of Jack Johnson going broke. And it is a sad story, and it is it's an important story. I think that, you know, National Hockey League players have for years been preyed upon by unscrupulous people, but what sets this one apart is that the two people that preyed the most on him were his parents. And it's a story about financial mismanagement. It's a story about the abuse of trust. He's estranged from his parents right now over this. And his wages have been garnished for years, and he's filed for bankruptcy, and he's going to be in the hole for a long time, a guy that's made millions upon millions of dollars. And it's, I don't know what else to say other than it's not tragic exactly, but it's an object lesson. It's an object lesson that, that you have to learn the skills of money management when you're a young person, and you have to, you know, employ people that you trust in order to handle your money. I mean, the beginning of the end for Jack Johnson came when he had one of the most respected agents in the business, Pat Brisson, representing him, and dropped him because he thought he could handle his own finances. And the net result is that, you know, he's played a long time in the National Hockey League, making millions and millions of dollars, and has nothing to show for it so far. And it's going to take a while to dig out of this hole.
And on top of that, maybe because he will make more millions and will, I'm sure, find a way to get out from underneath it. But it's his parents, so now he has really no money. I'm sure he has a nice, like the Portsline article said, he left the Ferrari in the garage and took the BMW to go and file for bankruptcy. I don't know that anyone's really going to shed tears for him.
Yeah.
But the fact that this has happened, it's a huge burden and stress, and he can't even turn to his parents for support now. I feel for the kid.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, the story describes him as frugal. Well, you know, one of my memories of Jack Johnson, because I remember writing about this at the time, was when he made the American Olympic team, still as a member of the Los Angeles Kings, he chartered a plane to fly from Los Angeles to Vancouver, I think, so that he could arrive in time for a practice. And he left his teammate and his very good friend, Drew Doughty, behind, because Doughty was a Canadian. And you know, from the moment that they stepped off the ice for the last Kings game until the Olympics started, they were on opposite sides of the thing. So he wasn't flying a guy from Team Canada up to the Olympics. Well, you know, guys who charter planes to fly from one place to another, that is not my definition of frugality. So it may well be that, you know, if he has had incidents like that in his past and owns a Ferrari, that, he himself had the taste for the good life. But beyond that, what ended up happening, and I'm not sure that, you know, people obviously wouldn't know the specifics of this, that, you know, when he signed his first big contract with Los Angeles, which was a 7-year deal for about $30 million, his parents borrowed against the future earnings, his future earnings, and were charged exorbitant interest rates. I mean, you and I go to the bank right now, and we're paying 4% for the mortgage on our house. They're paying 12%. In some cases, they were paying 22% to borrow money against his future earnings because this big contract hadn't kicked in, and they were buying a multi-million-dollar home in Manhattan Beach for themselves so they could live close to him. And Jack sort of gave the power of attorney over to his parents, and they basically said, just sign here and we'll take care of things from this moment on. And so he trusted them, and for years and years, money would come in, money would come out. He wasn't paying close attention. You're going to trust your parents, right? Because, who else do you trust in this world? And then suddenly, last summer, it became clear that he couldn't trust them and that he was in a hole that he couldn't dig himself out of, which is why he essentially started suing different people, and he is no longer talking to his parents, and he's hired a different set of advisors to try to dig him out of this mess. And the process is ongoing, and it sounds as if it's going to take a long time. What I'd be concerned about if I were the Columbus Blue Jackets is how the fact that this story is now in the public eye, how might that affect his performance? Because I do think that, when you're carrying a burden like that privately, it does perhaps affect the way that you play. But suddenly, he's going to be aware that fans are going to know about it, that media is going to know about it, there will be questions about it, and it is going to act as a distraction. So he's a kid that's, in the prime of his career, but not a star in the league by any stretch of the imagination. I would say an above average player, and someone that is going to have to focus on hockey and continue to play good hockey so that he earns another contract after this and digs himself out of it. I mean, I was reading a couple of months ago about Willie Nelson's financial issues and how much money that he owed the U.S. government, and how late in life, he had to try and monetize his back catalog because he didn't have any money. The same thing happened to Leonard Cohen because of it's not a story that we're hearing for the first time. But, if you're a musical artist, you can sing into your 60s and 70s and reissue your greatest hits. That's not something that players can do. Players have a finite amount of time to extract as much dollars as they can from the system. And Jack Johnson is well into the prime of his career, and his years are going to eventually run out. So this is going to be an interesting time for him, and challenging too.
Speaking of challenges, we've talked this morning about the what?
Let's go after Edmonton.
Yeah, we've talked this morning about the Edmonton Oilers. Last night at home, their 11th home game of the season, they go down 2-0 to Vancouver, then 3-1. Then they fight back and manage to tie a hockey game.
Right.
And then in the second half of the third period, puck goes in their net, and they lose in regulation 5-4. They have won four. I'm just kind of looking here. They've won 4 of 11 home games.
Yep.
They are 0-9-1 within the conference.
Right.
And there's really no. There's no. They're not waiting for a star player to come back from injury. There's really no sense in that this is suddenly going to turn for them. 6 wins in 19 games. How is this happening again? Or should we be surprised that it's happening again? And it would seem like right now there's no chance they're a playoff team again this year. When does the spiral end in Edmonton?
Yeah, I mean, what a great question. And I'm sure that, that they are waking up this morning in Edmonton, the management group there, tearing their hair out and trying to decide, okay, is this the time to make that precipitous move? Because they felt, I think, going into this season, they absolutely felt that they'd solved the single primary on-ice issue, which was goaltending. So at the start of last year, it was Dubnyk and Jason LaBarbera's fault. They just weren't very good, and that's fair. I mean, they weren't very good. So, within the course of 12 months, they replaced those two with Ben Scrivens and Victor Foss. And I remember Taylor Hall saying to me, I'm convinced that one of these guys, I'm not sure which one, but one of these guys is going to give us the steadiness and goal that we need, and it's onward and upward from there. And it seemed like a plausible thing. I mean, both guys arrived there at the end of last year. Both showed signs of playing pretty well. Scrivens had one really memorable night, similar to what Hiller did to Chicago earlier in the season. So they really felt that if they plugged that one leak on the team, that all the other things would fall into place. A little bit better defense, young kids, another year on the odometer, just feeling more comfortable at the NHL level. And so that was the attitude going into the season, and not making any promises, right? They were making the promises the year before. This year, it's like, no, we're not saying anything. We're just going to go out on the ice and prove it. Well, they've proved again that the goaltending isn't very good, that the defensive play looks disorganized, not Toronto disorganized, but pretty close. And so what do you do? Do you change the goaltender again? Hard to do in the middle of the season unless you do something like, bring in Marty Brodeur. Last year they tried it with Brizgalov. Limited success with that. So they've got problems and no easy solutions. The easiest solution is to say, okay, our coach, the guy that we hired to replace the guy who was really getting the job done, Ralph Kruger, has not turned out to be the answer. And, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe that's the short-term fix. I would suggest if they are looking to do something between now and Christmas, that really is the only option, that they can remove Dallas Aikens and you know, promote an assistant, give the job on a temporary basis to Craig Ramsey, and then next summer when, you know, Babcock is a free agent, when some of these other coaches go out there, just see who, I mean, Babcock's not coming, but someone might. So, but, you know, I guess that's a long answer to the fact that they're in trouble and they don't have any solutions. And the hole that they've dug for themselves in a very competitive conference is one that they just cannot extricate themselves from. So essentially they're playing for next year again.
Well, when will that end? I mean, you said it. There's another year on the odometer for these guys, and that's all fine and good, and they should be improving. But, okay, you get rid of Eakins, or Aikens, however you say it.
Yep.
You bring in a new coach that doesn't fix your goaltending woes. You still got to go find a goaltender.
Yep.
We're talking, it could be
years
before they...
you're right, 100%. But here's what I would see. The only positive I can see from watching Edmonton is that Nugent Hopkins looks like a different, better player to me. So I think Taylor Hall has become an NHL superstar. I think Jordan Eberle has kind of plateaued. Yakupov, still waiting. You know, he may never be more than just a journeyman guy, which, you know, is a huge mistake at number one. You just cannot draft a guy who's just going to be a journeyman at number one. I do think that Nugent Hopkins has taken strides. During that period of time that Hall was out, he didn't have him as a guy playing on his line, and it looked like lots was happening. So I wasn't sure where Nugent Hopkins was going to go, and it looks to me now like he's going to be a better player than a lot of people thought. So that's one good thing. So now you got two pieces, but two pieces is not very much to show for 8 or 9 years out of the playoffs. It's not. It's not enough, and especially with the number of times you've had to pick right at the top of the draft. So I would say that Leon Draisaitl, you know, was crazy. They should have done with him what Calgary did and what Buffalo did with their kids, the young centers that they drafted. Give him another year in junior to mature. He's playing okay at the NHL level, but he's in way over his head. He's just too young. He's just too young to make a difference, an appreciable difference right now. So you could have spared him all of this losing if you'd sent him back. I think he's going to be a piece eventually, just not now. And if they continue to struggle like this, if they have a very good chance of being the worst team in the Western Conference. If you're the worst team in the Western Conference, you're going to have a decent mathematical chance at getting a shot at one of these generational players that's coming down the pipe. So, you know, Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel. I mean, I would suggest that if they are bad enough, and if they happen to get lucky again in the lottery, which they have been a few times, this would be another time to press the reset button, because now you've got a special player coming in, and you build around that player, and you've got a few pieces in place. So that's, you know, it could all change if they happen to get lucky at the draft lottery. But it's not going to happen overnight. You're still relying on kids.
Which you could argue, if they finish near the bottom and win the draft lottery and select Eichel or McDavid, that they are starting the rebuild.
Yeah, I know. After 9 years of not,
you know what I mean? You've got.
You know what? The same thing happened with Florida. I mean, Florida. How long was Florida out of the playoffs? You know, and again, you know, yeah, but they got Barkov. Yeah, but they got Huberdeau. Yeah, but they got all these high picks. Well, guess what? They're still not a very good team. So, you know, I remember the conversation we'd have 3 or 4 years ago when it was still sort of the Iginla Kiprasov era. Tank, get to the bottom, do what, you know, what Edmonton is doing. Well, guess what? You know, it turns out that maybe the right choice was, you know, what they are doing right now, which is, you know, try and be as competitive as possible, but move on into the next generation of players and, you know, play, you know, the game with honesty and integrity and try to build a winning culture. I mean, the hardest thing, I'm convinced that the hardest thing in that dressing room is that the losing is starting to wear on those young players. And they just, you know, they have to face the questions again and again. And they are running out of answers. I mean, there are simply no answers, you know, when you lose a game like you referenced the other night. I mean, it's sort of, you know, they want to save, but aren't you watching the game? You know, we needed a save at 3-3. We got ourselves back. We needed a save. We didn't get it. You know, and the ethic of professional sport is you can't say that. And they rely on people like us from the outside, you know, let's call a spade a spade. State. You know, they needed a save there. And if they had got a save there, maybe they would have got the other goal and they got the win and built a little bit of the momentum. How much have you heard from the Flames players the last little while? Mark Giordano said it again the other day. You know, he said, we were really overly relied on our goaltenders in the first five or six games to get us through. And that gave us confidence. And now we've built on that. And we've played a lot of good games since then. That is exactly right. He's hit the nail on the head. The goaltending got them that game in Chicago when they were on the road. It got them other games. Kerry Rambo won a couple, you know, with really good goaltending. And so if you get that, you know, it mitigates everything else. It just allows players like the Jurises and the Granlins and the Gaudreaus to come in and just play, you know, and they're playing very well. But it is a completely different atmosphere and environment within that Calgary room compared to Edmonton's. And that losing just gets poisonous after a while.
Thanks, Eric. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Sportsnet 960 Hockey Insider Eric Duhatchik is brought to you by Eastside Kia. Winterfest is on now. Save $4,500 on a 2015 Kia Forte LX and receive no-charge winter tires. Visit eastsidekia.ca.
It's funny. I remember being in a scrum with Craig McTavish one time, and it's not his saying, but he was talking just about teams that are trying to change their identity and try and make a break from the pattern that they've been in. And he said, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And it feels like he's living that right now. The advice or the cautionary tale that he trots out is one that he's living every single day up there now. They just keep doing the same thing.
But they may, it could turn out 3-4 years, they're laughing at us. They
sure
screw it all up this year, and we make fun of them and laugh about it and go, jeez, how do you continue to do this?
And meanwhile, their fan base has got 10 years of their life they're never getting back. Right? Jeez. We'll take a break. Some other things going on. Obviously, Thursday night football coming up this evening. We've got a trade involving the Calgary Hitmen that involves the Calgary Flames. We'll tell you about that. And these jersey tosses. The Leafs, they've had enough of fans throwing their jerseys on the ice, and they're going to put a stop to it. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 mornings with Boomer in the Morning on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Streaming live at sportsnet.ca/960.
Sportsnet 960 mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. The Ford Swap Your Ride event is on now, and Canadians across the country are swapping their rides for a Ford. Visit Universal Ford Lincoln today and swap your ride. See dealer for details.
Little Alice Cooper for you this morning. Jason DeForest, our outstanding producer, was at the big show last night. Now, we never really did get a review of the show. You said Alice Cooper was, I don't know, because he has very different, like we all do, musical tastes. So I don't know where the review, how much of it to take. But if you were writing for a newspaper, and your job was to go and critique and review the show, what would you have said?
This guy was great, man. It's great theatrical costume changes. He's got props that get wheeled up on stage. He had a fake electric chair, a giant Frankenstein guy. He puts on like a straight jacket at some point, and then he breaks out of it, and it's a big deal. Way better than Motley Crue, like I said. They were fine. This guy was great for like 112 or whatever he is.
Yeah. Wasn't there kind of a point of concern near the end of the Alice Cooper performance?
Ah, yes. They fake cut off his head.
Also, they didn't really cut off his head?
No, but it was only troubling because the illusion was kind of broken when he comes back on stage as himself with his fake head still sitting on the stage.
Oh, I see. But they didn't cut his head off,
no,
right?
No, he's fine.
So he's fine?
Yeah.
It wasn't a public beheading?
No.
Oof.
Okay.
I think the authorities would frown on that.
Fortunate for Alice and all in attendance.
Yeah, I would think that that'd be a bad... I don't know what that would add to the show.
I heard he does a golf tournament in the spring that is lights out.
He loves golf.
Does love to golf.
And beheadings. Big fan.
Big Republican, apparently.
Yeah, huge fan. We were talking about the Oilers. There were no jersey toss, apparently, in spite of their loss last night. This whole jersey tossing thing is really, it's really gone too far, right?
It's silly, yes.
It started, last year? An Oiler fan threw it, and it was like, there's a sign that's a symbol of a fan base that is fed up when they're taking their beloved team's jersey and throwing it on the ice in disgust.
Not just some drunk.
No. It's supposed to be, it's very symbolic. But when it happens over and over again, then it's just, okay, now you're just wasting money. Now you're just foolish. And it's been happening to the Leafs a lot. It happened, I guess, the other night when they were being beaten by Buffalo. And then, of course, there was the 9-2 drubbing at the hands of the Predators.
Now, if you can afford a ticket to the Leafs game, you can afford to throw your jersey on.
Right. Apparently, MLSE, the ownership, the parent. Now, I got to be careful because I think, isn't Rogers part of the MLSE?
You best watch yourself, boy.
They own just less than half. They and Bell, I think, comprise about 90-ish%, and then some other dude owns the remainder.
MLSE has warned fans that if you are caught tossing your sweater, you could face charges and a lifetime ban from the ACC. So don't do it. Don't you do it, Warner.
Aren't we a bit full of ourselves? Has it become that big an issue that...
Yeah, I guess so.
Or maybe you could just look at it and go, perhaps that was deserved?
Yeah.
It's 9-2?
Do you guys remember a couple of years ago? It was 2010, December, when fans at the ACC were so fed up with a Toronto loss that someone brought waffles and tossed them onto the ice.
Yeah, I remember
that was
someone
even better than the jersey toss. The waffles.
Fired the waffle on the ice.
I like
it. Symbolic, right? There again. Man, we got to pick it up. Fans are throwing waffles on the ice. We got to get our power play going. Randy Carlyle has not been fired. We have the Randy Carlyle watch on, like many do. They'll be on the ice tonight. A bunch of games, obviously.
Easy
the Flames.
Easy matchup for them tonight.
Yeah, what do they got tonight? What are the
Tampa?
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Maybe the best team in the league right now.
Well, they lost the other night to the New York Islanders, but no question about it. Tonight it's the Flames and the Hawks.
All Canadian teams except the Oilers in action tonight. Actually, boys. Yeah. It's a good little slate on tap.
Yeah. You know what? People are so funny. Of course, I was talking about Alice Cooper. And the gist of this show seems to be people take a lot of pleasure in the fact that I'm old, right? I'm still in my 30s, but yet I'm an old man. Hey, Boom Boom, as an older gentleman regarding public beheadings, you're still reeling from horror from the guillotine and the French Revolution. I was not around for beheadings in the French Revolution.
I don't even know what that means.
People are so small.
I do know that you're getting old, though.
Well, we're all getting old.
Because some of the conversations we've had while here, very interesting things going on in Boom Boom's head, Mr. Pinder.
Oh, boy.
He's contemplating a purchase.
Oh, dear.
Now, you're a few years younger, but...
Not a ton. He's a few.
You're
feels
a lover
like decades,
of...
decades, though.
Are you a lover of cars, Pinder?
Not necessarily, no. I just don't want them to break.
Do you really appreciate the late 70s, early 80 model Trans Am?
Not at all, no. It kind of represents everything that drives me nuts.
The Burt Reynolds-esque Trans Am?
No, sir.
Because someone on our show really does. And he's got his sights on one.
Wasn't he moaning and whining about not being able to go to Las Vegas?
Yeah.
And how he didn't have enough money, and now he's going to spend it on a car, the least appreciating thing on earth.
It doesn't speak at all to a midlife crisis.
Or does it?
Not at all. I mean,
a guy getting older and suddenly wants to buy a sports car.
Takes him back to his youth where he can
that doesn't happen, does it?
Glass T-tops. Tiger at full blast with the T-tops off.
T-tops. I love T-tops.
See?
I love them. I had T-tops in my 1984 Camaro Z28. Oh, it was so good. had the 350, that thing would just roar.
Oh, you!
I was always sad, though, that it wasn't an IROC.
I shouldn't have brought it up, I guess, because here we go. Memory lane for old Boomy Boom.
Well, didn't you have a car that...
Yeah, it's a 1980 Honda Civic that you could start with your thumb.
No, stop. That's very common now.
I'd come outside of school or the rink and it'd be gone. Huggers would take it to McDonald's.
How could you start with your thumb?
Maybe thumb was an exaggeration, but if you had a long fingernail, you could start it.
Just stick it in the... Yeah. You never had a car that you loved when you were growing up? You never had an affinity for T-tops and rims?
I like T-tops.
Yeah.
I like T-bars better.
Yeah, well.
Yep.
So if you're if you are in Brooks this morning and you're listening and you're selling a 1979 10th anniversary special limited edition Trans Am, let's talk.
How do I know that it's Boomer's wife that does the money thing at the old Moorberg household?
I want that car so bad.
I said,
it's got original paint pinned.
I told him he's better dye his hair because when he gets divorced, he does gotta look good.
Damn it. Tonight, Flames and Hawks, one of the rare meetings in recent memory where the Flames come in with a better record than the Hawks, and like not game one or two of the season. Flames 12-6-2, Hawks 10-7-1. First of a extended road trip, six games. Here's a funny one. They've got a six-game trip right now. They come home for two and then go back on another road trip. 10 of their next 12 are on the road. It's not make or break, but the fact that they're on the outside looking in right now as far as a playoff spot, I still think they get in. But this is pivotal for them. They're without Patrick Sharp. They're going to need things to go quite well for them here, because the next month they're going to be out of town a ton.
Well, you can build it up to be a big test for them, but they're still the Chicago Blackhawks. And if they can't come through, I'll be shocked. It's the Blackhawks.
And if they don't now, they'll do it later, right, Brett?
Exactly.
They're too good.
If they're 500, even if they're a game or two below 500, all that means is that they're at home more in the second half of the season and cleaning teams up on Sunday afternoons. They're too good. Too good.
You're 2 points behind Winnipeg right now with two games in hand. So,
wow, and you know the
sure
Jets.
Sure, the Jets aren't counting on that playoff spot.
What do you take? What do you take?
J-E-T-S down the tube here.
Stop.
Shortly. Old Hutch Dog. I'm not sure he can hang on for the next 6 months.
The Wide Dog just loves your love for the old cars are coming at you.
Well, of course they are. It's fine.
Boomer, a Trans Am is not a sports car. It's a pornographer's car.
I don't want a Porsche. I don't want that. I want an American. Mopar'd be all right, but there's something I've always loved the old Trans Am. T-tops out. The big bird on the hood.
How about I just rent it for you for a week next summer?
Well, yeah, do that, and then we'll decide if it's worth buying.
Ask the guy if we can rent it for a week.
Did you have a pig mask in your Honda too, Rhett? T-tops are awesome. I have an 89.
And there they went. Well, it is 9 o'clock, Jay. Maybe we just say goodbye, or do we want to reconnect with the doofuses in Palm Springs? All right, we'll give them a moment. A reminder, I believe this might even be the last day they're broadcasting from the desert. Retro and Boomer down in Palm Springs. Before we get back to the car talk, just a quick wrap on tonight's Canadian teams in action. Tampa, Toronto, St. Louis and Montreal, where the Habs have been shut out twice on home ice this year. Nashville.
Oh, see, we dropped. I was so busy talking about my T-tops, I didn't even realize we dropped out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys missed a lot.
Went on a rant. We're here.
Really sad we missed it.
Should we do the
901?
Good. I can go.
Warner thinks we should do the 455. No, it's got the 403. Thinks we should do a Craig Conroy sports update. Is there any way we can do a scoreboard update for Craig Conroy? It's a little late. He's probably at work by now.
Well, and you've got Scotty Taylor coming up in mere moments. I don't know. Could you do that to Scotty?
All right. Well,
yeah.
Connie's going to have to use the internet. Conroy. He's got it on his phone. He's got a computer.
Retro, give him a quick scoreboard update. Tell Connie what he needs to know from last night.
0-0 across the board as far as today goes.
There you have it. Scotty Taylor, Pools and Props, coming up, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.